This is the third program in the series Our Lady Speaks Today. The voice of the Immaculate began to be heard in today's world in Paris, where what we may call today's world began with atheistic, deceptive cry, Liberté, Fraternité, Égalité, which you see written over in faded letters now, over the doors of churches, cathedrals, public buildings all through France. Liberty, fraternity, equality. Equality meant denial of personal property. Fraternity meant a classless society without God. You recall that in the first program, when we heard the actual words of Our Lady spoken in Paris, where tears started in her eyes as she spoke to St. Catherine Laboureille of what was going to come into the world, that Karl Marx was in Paris at that very time preparing his doctrine. A doctrine which came out of that whole seething atheistic milieu which created what we call today's world. Liberty to these shapers of today's world meant freedom from religious restraint. Science was to be the new religion. Man's own conscience was to be his guide. Cauchy, the celebrated mathematician who died in 1857, summarized what today's world was to be. He said, "The sovereign majesty of God has tumbled. Only the material exists. Reason alone can and has the right to explain everything. The supernatural order is impossible. Religion and faith are superfluous. They are burdens which encumber the human spirit. Science alone reigns victorious. It alone emancipates man, releases him from his chains, permits him to reach his full height and to search all horizons." The end of quotation. Was it just coincidence? But the year after Cauchy died, 1858, Marx published his manifesto. Darwin published his book on the theory of evolution. And Our Lady appeared at that very moment in Lourdes and said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And in a blaze of miracles, she affirmed the supernatural. As we saw in the first two programs of this series, when we listened to the actual words spoken by Our Lady, as she came again and again to lead the battle against the forces which Satan was mustering to change a world of believers into a world without God. She came in Paris in 1830, when it was all beginning. She came again and again foretelling the punishments men would bring upon themselves if they danced to Satan's tune. We followed, in these first two programs, the duel between Our Lady and Satan up to the present moment, and listening to her very own words. And there were more than just words. There were miracles. Most numerous at Lourdes. Most spectacular at Fatima. Indeed, without precedent in the history of the world. The more the shapers of today's world denied the supernatural, the more Our Lady affirmed it. At Fatima, she foretold a miracle at a predicted time and place so that everyone may believe. Those were her very words. So that everyone may believe. Now, stop and think. What were the greatest miracles in the history of the world? The opening of the Red Sea in order to free the people of Israel. When Joshua commanded the sun to stop in the sky and daylight was prolonged for 2 hours to bring about a victory. or one Elias, to show that God was God, called fire out of the sky, and fire came and consumed a sacrifice, the altar upon which the sacrifice rested, and the water around the altar. Were those the greatest miracles in the history of the world? Perhaps. What happened at Fatima? It had been raining heavily for many hours, and the whole area of the Kova, which means a hollow, a great natural hollow of land, bigger than St. Peter's Square in Rome, had become a sea of water and mud. And there the Mother of God appeared in her final apparition to three children, the day that she promised a miracle so that all may believe. There were tens of thousands of people there. I wrote a book about this miracle, and I talked to dozens upon dozens of witnesses. I believe we pretty well established that the crowd exceeded 100,000. Suddenly the rain stopped. People looked up, and what appeared to be the sun, a great fire, but they thought it was the sun, seemed to loosen itself from its position, moving in the sky, and then it plunged towards the earth until it seemed about to engulf the world in its fire. And then it gathered back into itself, and as the people stared, still stricken with fear, everyone thinking it was the end of the world, the light disappeared into the sun, sky was clear, and in that instant, everything was dry. As dry as the bed of the Red Sea, which permitted the Israelites to escape. And the sun seemed, and everyone said it, to me it seemed like the sun, as at the command of Joshua, seemed as though the sun had stopped, and daylight was prolonged. And the fire had come down from the sky and consumed all the water, that whole area, leaving everything dry. And this great miracle had the purpose of the three miracles of the Old Testament. The purpose of freeing us. Russia, Our Lady said, will be converted. And there were millions who had been enslaved in atheism, and she came to free them. Victory. If my requests are heard, there will be an era of peace for mankind. To show that God is God, so that all may believe. Pio Sciatizzi, the Jesuit scientist and theologian, called the miracle of Fatima the greatest, most colossal miracle in history. With today's marvelous communications, it is difficult to understand how so great a miracle, followed by a great sign, witnessed by millions in 1938, could be taken so lightly and even ignored. It is as though the minds of men had been so darkened to the supernatural that they could not understand, they could not accept. Yes, and there was not only the great miracle of Fatima, but as I just mentioned, the great sign. Our Lady had appeared at Fatima at the peak of the First World War, but she said if men continued to ignore her messages, if people refused to listen to her voice as she was sent by God to speak to her children in the world, that there will be another, a worse war. And she said, when you shall see the night illumined by an unknown light, know that it is the great sign that the punishment is about to begin. And on January 25th, 1938, a red glow was seen over much of the world, which caused all who saw it to think the world was on fire. As we read the newspaper accounts of that incredible event, for example, in the New York Times, we ask ourselves again, how is it possible that the world could have ignored such signs? Our Lord said, if you don't believe my words, believe in my signs, believe in my miracles. And now he sent his mother, a loving mother of mercy. And with all these wonders, will we still not listen to her voice? It is the voice of the mother of the church. And she is coming because the voice of the church is not being heard. 4 years before Lourdes, the First Vatican Council proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. Before the appearance of Our Lady at Fatima, Pope Benedict XV had proclaimed the devotion of the five first Saturdays and added Our Lady of Peace to the litany. Only a few years before that, Leo XIII had issued 18 encyclicals on the Rosary, saying that its mysteries comprised all the essential mysteries of Christianity and that the Rosary was the key to open doors of grace for the world. But the voice of the church was drowned out by the voice of the world. In 1942, the Pope consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and in 1950 proclaimed the dogma of Mary's Assumption. 2 years later, the same Pope made a solemn consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and 2 years after that, proclaimed a Marian year, in which he called upon the entire church to celebrate the queenship of Mary, saying, in this doctrine and devotion of her queenship lies the world's greatest hope for peace. It was the church proclaiming what little Jacinta of Fatima had said, God has entrusted the peace of the world to her. And the church was affirming and urgently teaching that our response is necessary to turn back the tide of militant atheism. In 1960, Pope John XXIII announced a second Vatican Council and that he would make a pilgrimage to a shrine of Our Lady to pray for its success. He went to Loreto, the first time the Pope had left the Vatican in almost 100 years. That council proclaimed Mary, Mother of the Church, and commanded that traditional devotions to Our Lady be fostered in the faithful. With all the distortions of the Second Vatican Council, one would think that that important paragraph 67 of the most important document of the Council, the Constitution of the Church, Lumen Gentium, was never written. Was never promulgated. It commands that the traditional devotions to Our Lady be fostered, not just tolerated, promoted and fostered in the faithful. The committee which prepared that paragraph of Lumen Gentium considered specifying some of the devotions, and especially the Rosary. But they finally decided that it was up to the Pope to specify at any particular moment in history which devotions were most important. And immediately after the promulgation of this document, the Pope responded and said that the two most important devotions for today, in the light, and the Pope said this, in the light of paragraph 67 of Lumen Gentium, are the Rosary and the Scapular. Now, this is so important, and we haven't time to go into details here, that I urge you to read more details that I have written about this in my book, Dear Bishop. And that was a book that was written under obedience to my own bishop who wanted me to tell some details of the development of the World Apostolate of Fatima. Now, only 4 months after Lumen Gentium and the naming of Mary as Mother of the Church, this message of the Pope about the rosary and the scapular was delivered to the world at an international Marian Congress. But again, the voice of the Church was drowned out by the voice of the world. Indeed, who was ever listening to the Church? Who was bothering to read the Pope's encyclicals? Who was bothering to read the documents of the Council? Yes, many listened to rumors, to interpreters of the Council documents, and even in the Church itself, false voices sounded above the voice of the Church. So Our Lady came at Akita in a miracle of tears to remind us all of what the Church has been saying and of all she said at Fatima. Unless we respond, there must be fire over the earth like a nuclear holocaust to purge out the evil which began to spread from Paris when she shed her first tears there in 1830. Two vital questions are raised. What response is necessary? When will we know that the triumph promised at Fatima is here? Let us examine first the response. We recall that at Pontmain, there were 40 stars at Our Lady's feet and 3 stars above and about her head. And there were exactly 43 years of peace after this consoling apparition of Our Lady, who appeared in the sky over that village, putting an end to the Franco-Prussian War, appearing as a queen, and proclaiming on a banner in the sky that we should continue to pray because our Lord permits himself to be touched by our prayer. But obviously people did not respond. People did not continue to pray. Even after this, the warnings and the chastisements and then the message of hope and the peace, nothing seemed enough to enable Mary's voice to be heard. And then we had the First World War. And at the very time the first U.S. troops were arriving in France in October of 1917, Our Lady said at Fatima, "War is a punishment for sin." What had begun in France had now spread throughout the entire world. You know, as you were listening to the words of Our Lady at Aurillac in Paris, at La Salette, Pontmain, Belvoisin, and Our Lady constantly saying that France was not listening to her and France would be punished and France would suffer, well, you were wondering, well, why France? Well, France happened to be the country where Satan initiated this today's world. And so Our Lady came on that battleground. And what happened in France is an image for the world, because now it has spread through the entire world. As a matter of fact, at Fatima, she said specifically that if her requests were not heard, this error, which was prepared by Marx and was first published in France, will spread from an atheist Russia throughout the entire world, fomenting further wars, and several entire nations will be annihilated. And at Fatima, she told us specifically what had to be done in order to bring about a change in Russia and the era of peace for mankind, to the triumph of her heart, the triumph of the Eucharistic heart of Jesus in the world. Now, you'll recall that at Pomain, where Our Lady appeared as Our Lady of Hope, and where she increased in size, her apparition increased in size, doubled in size as the rosary was prayed, four candles were attached to a circle around the vision of Our Lady. And as the words appeared in the sky, telling the world to pray because her divine son would respond, one of the stars shot up from Our Lady's feet, and one by one lit the four candles, in which we may see a symbol of the four requests she made at Fatima, four conditions for bringing about an era of peace for mankind. They are four things so simple that they are possible for the simplest child, as simple as lighting four candles. First, she asked the children, will you be willing to accept whatever God will send you and offer it up in reparation for sins and for the conversion of sinners? Now, unbelievable though it may be, this is the main request of Our Lady. Nothing's going to change in our daily lives as far as what's going to happen to us. But will we be willing to see the hand of God in what happens to us and to offer up whatever it is, good or bad, saying, I accept it from your hand, oh my God. And you offer it back to him, responding to whatever happens in the course of the day, especially what is necessary for the fulfillment of one's daily obligations, offering whatever little sacrifice that requires in reparation for those who do not fulfill their daily duties. In the World Apostolate of Fatima, it's made so utterly simple through the morning offering. We make an offering in the morning of all we do during the day. And then in the course of the day, something happens which really strikes us as something that might be a little difficult in order to fulfill our duty, and we recall our morning offering. It's that simple. But to make it easier, Our Lady has three other requests. The other three requests are also very easy, but primarily they are requests for our sake to help us fulfill the main one, which is the sanctification of our daily duties. First, she held the scapular out of the sky at the climax of the great miracle, and she asked for consecration to her Immaculate Heart. A wordless prayer of entrusting ourselves to her. Entrusting ourselves to her. Third, she asked us to say the rosary and to say it properly with attention to the mysteries, so that inspired by the mysteries of the rosary, we will have the light to see in each day the hand of God. And finally, the fourth, that once a month we take our 15 minutes to think about the mysteries of the rosary. We cannot say the rosary properly if we do not know the mysteries, if we do not know that in the rosary the mysteries of Jesus are communicated to us by his mother. The rosary is a simple prayer, but it requires some experience, it requires some thought. And certainly we have to know what the mysteries are. So 15 minutes on the first Saturday, and in addition, that we will then say the rosary, confess our sins, and receive Holy Communion, all in reparation to her Immaculate Heart. You recall at Pelvoisin, Our Lady said that what offends her heart the most our careless communions. And so she asked us on the first Saturday to receive Jesus with love, to receive him in reparation, to confess our sins, to at least once a month, to renew our intentions, to renew our purity of life by seeking the sacrament of reconciliation. That's all. It's an anxious mother stooping from heaven to take her children by the hands and to lead them to a minimum of holiness which will tip the scales and bring peace to the world. Could there be any more salutary practice than to listen to the actual words of Our Lady over and over? Indeed, she said at Beauvoisin, "Recall to mind all my words." Look at the history of France. Look how the prophecies of Our Lady came true. Listen to her loving, beautiful words to Saint Bernadette, to the children of La Salette, to Estelle Faguet, and see how these evils which she was predicting would spread through the entire world have so darkened men's minds that even the voice of the Church and the great miracle of Fatima have not been enough to be heard. And so now Our Lady comes in a miracle of tears. And we are forced to cry out, "Oh, how long? How long before the voice of this anxious mother from heaven, how long before the voice of the Church will be heard in the world?" In the next part of this program, in what arose from a frank discussion after listening to the actual words of Our Lady by a group in a Blue Army cell, we will ask the question, are the events of the 90s, especially in Eastern Europe, a sign of the coming triumph of Our Lady? There's a great deal of curiosity about the prophecies, about the third secret of Fatima. There is not enough curiosity about what we must do to obtain the triumph of Our Lady, to obtain the era of peace. And we cannot stress enough that all we hope to do in this program is to present the words of Our Lady so that each of us will be inspired to study more, to learn as much as we can about these four simple candles that we must light in our lives. Four simple things we have to do. Now we're going to give some examples of how we may say the rosary properly and some suggestions about it. But in particular, we very strongly recommend that you read the book Sex and the Mysteries and the book Sign of Her Heart. I know it may seem gratuitous for me as the author of those books to recommend them, but I wrote them for Our Lady without any financial reason or benefit, gave them to the apostolate, and so I had no selfish interest whatever. While the title Sex and the Mysteries may offend a little, it is a book aimed at using the mysteries of the rosary towards obtaining purity of life, emphasizing the not just the negative side of the virtue, but the beauty and the wonder of the integrity, the purity and the holiness of the body as the temple of God.
and how we view this in the married state or the single state. Now, while this may not be necessary for everyone, it is a good example of how to use the rosary well. And for the scapular, if you were to read and reread that book, Sign of Her Heart, it would still not be enough to enter into this profound mystery of Our Lady stooping from heaven to fold us in her arms by this unique devotion by which she enables us to practice faith, hope, and love at every moment, drawing us constantly in a marvelous way to the Sacred Heart of her Son through her own Immaculate Heart. And for this also, it is important to read True Devotion by St. Grignion de Montfort, which explains the theology and the practice of the devotion in a more profound way. The more we know about these requests of Our Lady, the more we will fulfill them effectively. 800 years ago, St. Dominic...